But on admission in the hospital, psychiatric ward, he had the first class, either in engineering or mathematics. He did a master's that he was already going to get the top grade also, before his head went, you know, before the head bifurcated. I don't know what happened to him. Do you get my point? That is, the race is not to the swift. Neither is a battle to the strong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That the Bible says, let me tell you something about faith. Faith must explain every statement you make. That is what makes you a believer. I always say something, that a lot of people claim they are believers. Ask them, what do you believe? A lot of believers believe nothing. If we gather together and begin to speak about Nigeria, you will not be able to identify which one is a believer. Because what does he believe? He believes the report of this day. He believes the report of the Guardian. He believes the report of the radio. He believes every kind of report but the one that God has said. And he says he's a believer. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, if when you speak on mundane issues, if your faith does not rise up and speak, you don't have it. That was what James said when he was explaining that faith without works is dead. He didn't say when you have faith, you must look for words, for work to give it life. No. That when I see a faith that somebody is professing, but I cannot see the works that is backing that faith, then I know that he has a dead faith. It doesn't need to put works. You need to go and get a living faith. When the faith is alive, it speaks by itself. I hope you follow what I'm trying to say. That is, when a man says he believes, he says he's a believer, in his life, everything that's happening around him must show. The way he responds to things happening around him must show that he believes that what is happening is beyond that everybody else can see. One of my friends told me something long ago. There was an unfortunate incident in their house. One of their children died. So we talked with them. Of course, they were mature Christians, and I think about a year or two later, when we were speaking, the lady was telling me something. She said that somebody came to her around that time and said, "Komo, you know that your neighbor?" Say, "Yes." "You know that woman is very wicked. I am telling you, she's the one that used witchcraft to kill your child." She said she laughed and laughed and laughed and told her, "No witch can kill my child." Didn't see the woman tomorrow, say, "I won't greet you again." Or go and fight, say, "It is you." Her own is that, "What are you telling me? It is not possible for a witch to kill my child. I'm not claiming that I have an explanation for what happened, but I know it is not a witch." Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, the way she responded to a situation showed what she believed. Is it devil in my house? It's like telling Job, "Come, oh, I know those that killed your children." What? It is that man that didn't like it. He was the one. No, the man is a thick juju man. He stirred up the winds and he broke the house upon the children. Are you getting my point? If Job knew what we know about him now, if he knew it about himself, he would have said, "If the Lord did not remove the hedge around me, that man would have had no power." Just like Jesus spoke to Pilate. Pilate said, "Do you know I have the power to free you or to condemn you now?" He said, "Why are you jumping like a Boy Scout? If that power had not been given to you, you wouldn't have it. For your information, you have it because I laid down my life. And when I'm through, I take it up again." Now, I'm saying that you see his response based upon what he believes. And the Bible says that what you will see in your life will be a consequence of what you believe now. It will be a consequence of the words that you are speaking. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, if you are going to see a bright future or a different tomorrow in your environment or in your country, you have to start speaking in agreement as a watchman with what God wants to do. For example, he said, there are many things we can, let's take Nigeria for example. Jesus said it clearly, "You are the salt of the earth." I hope you know the meaning of the word salt. It means that you are the one that's preserving the earth. You are the reason why this earth will not suffer destruction. Anywhere I find people like you, I have to stay back and watch what will happen. I can't just jump in and come and destroy. So if they have found 10 righteous men, according to the negotiation of the Lord and Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah will have been spared, and we will have called those 10 people what? The salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I know, based upon that principle, that I am living here, this land will be preserved. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? For that reason, I stand as a watchman before God, and every day I declare good about the country. Because you see, there was a gospel we preached and listened to and heard and believed some time ago, that darkness will be upon the peoples, but unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And I'm not saying it's wrong. He said, it means therefore that all the unbelievers around you will be in distress, but only you will be prospering. Somebody commented, my pastor in Lagos, he said, what the Bible says, you have forgotten to quote about that, is that he said, arise, shine, because your light has come, and Gentiles will come into your light. Not that you'll be shining and then you put a barricade around there. All of you are Gentiles. I am a child of God. Can't you see that the road, this is my compound, is tarred? Then go from your house to the market. You enter the portals. That is, God said it like this. There is a limit to which I can bless you if the land you are in is not blessed. If I make you a billionaire in pure gold and I place you in the Sahara Desert, all you will buy is sand. So after making you rich, I have to bless Sahara Desert so that you have something to buy with your money. The car you want to believe God as prosperity and drive is made by a man who is not born again. You had better pray for him for skill. Otherwise, your ABS won't work the day after you spend all the God-given money. What I'm saying, therefore, is this. There is a principle there. As long as God wants to bless me in this country, then I have no choice but to constantly prophesy good upon the nation because of what God is saying. To me, oh. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. That is, there is something that God wants to do. We describe as an inheritance. That is his plan. You have to take your voice in prayer. Every time you get up to speak, you must speak in accordance with what God has said. And if you don't speak it, what God has said will not come to pass during your lifetime. It will still come to pass. Let me tell you something. God's word will eventually come to pass. But you can suspend whether it will come to pass during your lifetime or activate it coming to pass during your lifetime. I mean, when they pronounced judgment on Nineveh, I've not really checked that, but I heard Nineveh was still destroyed. But those men at that time, they repented. So the judgment of Jonah was suspended. The children after them went back to the ways of their fathers. Then the judgment was downloaded. You know what I'm trying to say? That was, click here for downloading the judgment. And they just clicked, bam, with iniquity. And that's it, judgment came. What I'm saying, therefore, is that if God wants to do something good in a place, and the people there don't want it to happen, what will happen is that if the thing that God wants to do will be suspended for a time, then when those who are ready to walk with God will arrive, then they will see a manifestation of what God wants to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why Paul said, with all prayer and petition in the spirit. Doesn't mean you are speaking in other tongues. It means that you have decoded what God wants to do, and every time you are speaking in agreement with that thing. You know, for a long time, and even till now, I'm still wondering, what did Jesus used to pray about all night? I don't know why he didn't tell us. But we have an idea. You know how the kind of idea we have? His disciples came to him one day and said, Master, teach us to pray, just like John the Baptist also taught his disciples to pray. Now, I think it's important we see the prayer they prayed. It was in Luke chapter 11 that they came to him, recorded. But let's read from Matthew chapter 6. It's a prayer that, verse 9, in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me read that again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a reason why I read it like that. There are not two statements there. It is one word. as thy will is being done, there is a manifestation of thy kingdom. Notice what he said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, last time I explained something to us. That when the Bible says something is kept in the heavens, it doesn't mean it's when you have died that you will find it too. It means it is kept in a place where it is not affected by world events, that is not affected by the weather, is not affected by thieves. Thieves can't break in and steal. So what Jesus is saying to us in effect is simple. According to what you have written concerning me, let it be done on earth. I mean, God wants to do it, right? But then he needs the words of a man, which is the authority that he has to step into his life. He saw the children of Israel in captivity, didn't he? He said, I have remembered the covenant I had with their fathers. Did he forget before? But one thing he said, I have heard their cries. That is, when they cried out to me, they activated the memory of the covenant I have with their fathers. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But the problem we have as Christians is that we do not do this of declaring every time that will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. Or as it is written in heaven. In fact, I think that is more appropriate. Because what did he say there? He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me just check something before I make this statement. Because something just came to my mind now. And before I say it, let me just... Since I always read it as, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. In fact, you heard me say it just now. But I think what he was saying is, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Do you understand my point? He said, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, there is an inheritance that was written down, which became of effect after Jesus died. Thy will be done according to what is written in that document. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But rather, what do we just say as children of God? You know, this country, we are dead, though. And people say that, and there is nothing for God to activate in their lives. Like somebody was telling me in my office, one of my residents was talking the other day. He said he doesn't play American Visa Lottery. I said, why? He said, because if you win, he said, temptation has begun. He said, if you don't want to live there, don't play it. And you've heard me say it before. I agree with him totally. He said, because people will tell you that, go now. He said, you say, I don't want to go. He said, okay, we know you don't want to go. What about your children? Give them an opportunity for a bright future. That is, the opportunity for bright future for your children is tied to a geographical location. But I always declare, the passport my children need is their surname. It will open doors for them everywhere they go. The other day, one man came to preach in our church. In fact, he was in my car last night. He came to our church. I went to drop it at him at home. That was a privilege. He's a man of God, you know. Don Odunze. How many of you know Don Odunze? So this is his son, Don Odunze Jr. You may have seen him around or listened to his messages. He said one day he went to preach in one of these West African countries. So when he was coming back by road into Nigeria, he got to the border on the other side. So the guy looked at his documents. So the man looked at him, looked at the papers, and said, you are not Don Odunze. So he smiled. He said, because I know Don Odunze. He said, the man smiled. He said, look in front. See that word, JR there? It means the son of Don Odunze. Say, your father is Don Odunze. Correct. He said, he told him that many years ago, he was having serious problems with his wife. And his father, he attended a seminar where his father preached. And that solved his problems. He said the man carried his bag for him and led him through every other point till he crossed over to Nigeria. And when they were parting, he said, greet your father for me. That is, his father's name was a passport that opened the road for him. Do you get my point? How do I know that my name is all the passport that my children will need? Because he said his seed will be great upon the earth. That is, mark the righteous man. And it's me he was talking about. You know, he had me in mind when he was writing that scripture. No, I'm telling you the honest truth. He said, this is the word of God. you will not bear children for calamity. As long as my children are alive, no civil war will break forth again in this country. As long as they live here, because the word of God to me is that I will not bear children for calamity. I will not carry them, run, problem has come. No, it won't happen. And every day I see events that don't want to agree with that, I wake up again and say it, peace be upon this nation. Why did God command that people should declare peace upon Jerusalem? Is this watchman principle? Because as it says peace upon the nation, then peace is coming for. You know what he told Moses? He said, speak to Aaron. Tell him, this is how you will bless the children of Israel. You will say to them. You never read that before? You don't lay hands on them. You don't pour sacrifice upon them. You don't tell them to sow a seed for a major breakthrough. They don't need a seed for a major breakthrough. When you want to bless them, say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Say, may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He said, when you do that, you have invoked my name upon the children of Israel. There is a principle there. I said, if I become Nigerian president, I will move a motion in the house. They should add a line to it. National anthem, God bless Nigeria. It's important. Americans have it. Every major kingdom on earth that I remember always have a greeting for the king that prophesies goodness upon him. Read his Bible. O king, live long. They constantly prophesied good upon the king. Go to Benin till now, they do it. Oba Atepe. They still do it till now. Love, leave the queen. Americans put it in the anthem. God bless America. Are you getting the point I'm making? Come on, when you wake up in the morning, speak a word of blessing to your life. God bless me today. God bless my system, my body. In fact, there was a scripture I was reading. And you know, as I was reading it, someone was quoting it actually. And I was following. Then I got an understanding. That Paul said, though our outward man decays day by day, yet our inward man is renewed every day. But I think that's not a correct reading of it. He was saying that though corruption is coming towards us from outside, but from inside we are being energized by the Spirit of God. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Isaiah was saying here, this is the job of the watchman. Look, anything that is not in agreement with what God wants to do, prophesy against it. And say, God, this is what you have done, said. I like what they said in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. He said, that's the principle of confession. He said, for he has said, therefore we can boldly say, you know, that is very important. I think it's Hebrews chapter, is that 12 or 13? 13. Verse 15 said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? That is, it is based upon what he has said that I have a foundation for saying what I want to say. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is an important aspect of that full armor of God. Applying the word of God in prayer. Look, prayer is not, it's not the time of the day you pray that matters, or how hungry you are at the onset of the prayer. No, look. One day I was somewhere. Somebody said, those of us that have fasted, there's no way God won't bless us more than those who have not fasted. I was among those who didn't fast, I'm honest. Okay. I just shrugged my shoulder. The one he's giving me is good enough. I have not yet found out where hunger improves the response of God to prayer. No, I'm serious. Except you are sin and you are repenting, and the sorrow of your soul causes you to be anorexic. You know, you can't eat. Look, I'm telling you the whole truth. That is what I believe with all my heart. They said the Bible says that this is the kind of fast I want. I said, read it very well. It said, is this not the fast I have chosen? For a man to lose the bands of wickedness. The people said it is a day to do this. God said, the fast I have chosen is not a day. It's an attitude. Are you getting me? That is what God responds to in prayer is simple. What has he said? And what are you saying in agreement with what he has said? You know, one day I went somewhere. One brother, you know, was sharing like this. I used to go to spend my holiday in a church I used to attend. So when I was a resident, when I'm on leave, I go to that church and stay there for about 3 weeks, 1 month, helping out in the church, preaching, writing studies and all that. So some ministers came, they were going to organize a program, so they went ahead of the big man. So we got talking one day. We were just sharing the word and discussing like they were ministers. So I spoke about marriage, all right? Look, I was very young that time, but I spoke about marriage, okay? And the brothers assumed that I was married. So later on, one of them, he and I were talking, and he said that, no, but I remember that time, he concluded our discussion and said, God will help us. You know, that kind of thing. Two of them were single too. They were not married. But they didn't know I wasn't married. God, the way I was talking. They thought I had married and I experienced what it's really like. So when we were talking, the guy now said something like, okay, so how's your wife or something like that? So I said, no, I'm not married. Hey, he looked at me. You're not married? I said, no. And you live in Lagos? He said, Komo, be careful of Lagos, sister. So. Do you know, I looked at the brother like, you can't be serious in my mind. What? What has geography got to do with? I told him, I just told him, bro, you know what? Remember what you said when we were talking just now. You said, God will help us. I quoted it for him. He said, yes. I said, I depend totally on God's help. And even if I live in the midst of a million Jezebels, I won't marry one. I just told him like that. I gave it to him straight. He said, amen. It's true, Sha. It's true. Yeah, it is very true. That's why I said it. Because I have found out that what determines whether you get a good wife or a bad one is your attitude towards God. Period. I have found more bitter than death, Solomon says. A woman whose hearts are chains, whose hands are snares. He said, the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be entrapped. So it is not a matter of being wise. I have seen popular minister preaching on marriage. When this minister gave how to choose a mate, in my mind, my minister, you have made a mistake. Go and check whether the father divorced the mother. What difference does that make? Henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm going to write a mini book. In fact, I think it should be a tract so that everybody can get one free on how to choose a marriage partner, all of you single people. So that the reason being that what is most important, let me tell you, life is not a decision you just make. It's the path upon which you walk. We discussed that some weeks ago. Blessed is the man who walketh not. It is where the man is walking that decides whether he's blessed or he's not blessed. In the same manner, if you are going to choose a wife or a husband, the first question you ask yourself is, what exactly am I looking for? I won't go into that in details. But the first thing you settle, if you are going for God's best, is to make up your mind, I am looking for the person who will agree with me into the will of God and continue with me in doing the will of God so that we can finish doing the will of God. If you set your mind on that, you have no problem. Are you getting my point? The problem is that, you know, all this marriage counseling, how do I know who to marry or not? God is my witness, they are unnecessary. What we need to tell people is, what do you want out of life? Because once you make up your mind, you will immediately magnetize the correct person. All this confusion of, I really don't know, you know, the guy is nice, yeah. But you won't tell us he's currently broke, sha. He's broke. That is the problem. I told you, when an adult tells you 1 + 1 = 3, don't quarrel with him. He has hidden one somewhere he's not telling you about. But he said, but we put 1 naira here just now. This is another 1 naira. How come it's now 3 naira? I don't know, it's a lie. A lot of the confusion people claim they have, should I be honest with you? There is a reason they have it. They are not telling you that reason. That's why you are confused too. No, I'm telling you, a man comes, a woman comes to you for counseling. You know, I really don't know. If she will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you will see the help of God instantly. I'm telling you the honest truth. Look, you know, I used to tell you that when sisters say, I'm going to pray, it's a lie. Look, honestly, I personally believe it is not true. The best they can do is to prayerfully consider, you know what I mean? consider some points. Let me tell you the truth. Guys, somebody tell you they are going to pray. Don't wait for long. Just forget. Just assume the answer is no. I'm telling you the truth. Arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. Go somewhere else. I know what I'm saying. Okay. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What makes the difference in others, I don't know, is what exactly do you want out of life? I've told you, if you see, fear is a very terrible thing. And fear, you don't tell somebody, do not be afraid, except you have solution for the fear. Do you understand my point? Don't tell a man or a woman, don't worry. If you will not tell him or her, why he shouldn't worry. Don't worry is a very stupid advice to give. If it is not qualified. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for your heavenly Father knows. There is a reason he gave you for not worrying. If you somebody is in your house at 12 midnight, I say, no, maybe at about 10:30, say, I have to go home, there's no transport again. He said, don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? Do you have a car you go and use to drop him? Or you have a missile used to shoot him from your house to his own? Otherwise, he should worry. He should worry. He should be anxious. He should start trekking early. That look also before I sleep on the road. Now, how did I get there? Please, what was I saying? What was I saying? Okay, I think somewhere around there. Huh? And let me go back to that. I think I can retrace my steps from that point. So when he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, I was saying that a lot of the things that Christians say are not what it is written about them in heaven. They are saying what they are seeing on the earth, thereby affirming and confirming further what is currently happening. When the Bible says that what will happen tomorrow is not a product of what we are seeing today. And your interpretation of events must show that you believe something that other people don't believe. When it says that what we see were not made out of things that were visible, does not mean only in the past tense. It also means what we see tomorrow will not be as a consequence of what we are seeing today physically. That we know as children of God that the words, the events of our lives will be shaped by the word of God that is coming out of our mouth today, not by the color of our passport. Listen to me. The actions you take on earth are judged by God based on the reason you did them. Go and read Jeremiah chapter 17, around verse 11. I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the heart. I test the mind. Then I recompense a man according to the result of his actions. First thing I do is to check why he's doing them. I am saying, listen. If you are looking for a passport or visa or whatever because you think that life will be better somewhere, just forget it. You have just backslidden. Because a believer must believe something. So what do you believe? I hope you are getting my point. But there are many reasons to do things. The white man who brought gospel down here, he left his country. He had a reason. Came here with the gospel. He had a reason. Nigerians who are carrying gospel to other places also have reasons. What I'm just saying is that God is testing the heart of each person. But whatever you are doing on earth must have the launch pad of the faith that you have in the written word of God before you can call yourself a believer. Otherwise, you don't believe anything. You understand my point? You don't believe nothing. So he said, thy will be done on earth. I like one thing somebody said. Larry Lee. If you know Larry Lee, he preached a lot about on the Lord's Prayer. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? It's the most popular book. I'll link to his tape on that series. He said something, this was years ago. He said that word, he was explaining about the Greek. I didn't study Greek. That's why I'm quoting him so you know where I got it from, okay? That the word there is emphatic or forceful. It is not passive, like the will of God, thy will be done. No. That it's better expressed like this. Will of God, be done. Do you understand what I'm going to say? As if you are giving your authority to that will of God. That is based on God's word. You begin to declare things. Like the brother I was telling you about, I told him, that was 1995, 96, when he had that discussion. I didn't marry until December 99. But that thing was guiding my head everywhere I went. No matter how much I chase after the wrong woman, I will not succeed. That's all I knew. I knew it from, even if I see vision, you know, I have told you, any vision, somebody claims he sees that this is with my wife or my husband, I will believe it after they say, yes, I do. I say, indeed, you saw well. You get what I'm saying? I mean, Jeremiah, God spoke to Jeremiah. Go down, you will buy this land. I've forgotten the details now. He said, when he got there, and the man actually came to sell him the land, said, then I knew that God indeed spoke to me. So what a man needs, what a woman needs, the guiding principle of his life, that my purpose is to do God's will on the earth. So I declared it in agreement with God's word. I can tell you for sure, that was what I saw. And listen, what I am going to see tomorrow, a lot of you have heard it already. I know what God, I don't know the fine details, but I know that things indeed are getting better. Because the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It's shining brighter and brighter until the perfect day. That is what I keep on saying. As a watchman upon the walls of my house, as a watchman upon the walls of my city, as a watchman upon the walls of my nation, God, what is happening right now is not good. According to your word, when you see injustice, you are displeased. Therefore, I ask, let thy judgments be upon the earth, O God, that the inhabitants thereof might learn righteousness. As long as we don't see it, we'll continue to declare it. Because one day, it will come to pass. It doesn't mean you're talking in unbelief. As long as Elijah sat down there and he was not sitting in unbelief, all this prayer we are praying also is not in unbelief. It is because he said, we will not give God rest until we see it. You know what patience means? Patience means you don't live until what is promised is manifested physically. That is why faith and patience inherit the promises. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's vital we grab this. That is the reason why we have to keep on discovering God's word so we know what to pray. Now, I was telling you that Jesus said to his disciples, John said, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. My pastor was saying something once that there were some things that the disciples of John the Baptist kept on saying as their prayer. That it was not pleomorphic, you know what I mean? This amorphous kind of prayer. You all say anything you like. You know, I told you that's why I don't enjoy a lot of prayer meetings. The prayers are absolutely pointless, non-specific. Even you praying, you won't know when God answers it. Do you understand what I say? Today, we will see the glory of God. Amen. Pray. Beginning of service. When they start like that, I will be watching to. I tell the man in my mind on stage, when this glory appears, will you be able to identify? That's why we deceive ourselves at the end. Amen. Was this place not glorious today? In my mind, you think it was glorious? I think it was a waste of time. I think that minister talked nonsense. I think the choir were just dancing and feeling good with themselves. They didn't. But at the end, they say, it was a glorious day. Why? Because you prayed for a glory you couldn't identify. Like they say, if you are not going anywhere, any road will take you there. So since we're not going anywhere, we didn't have anything in mind that we're praying for. When nothing happened, there was enough to thank God for, because we didn't ask for anything anyway. I listened to this man's tape that I was telling you about last night, Derek Prince, an aggressive prayer. He described, in fact, he was talking about different kinds of prayer, talking about binding and losing, and then what he called specific, persistent, spirit, Holy Spirit inspired prayer. That is prayers that is just, he says sometimes he prays about a situation and says, God, what would you like to do about this? And then the Holy Spirit gives him a prayer. It's just a sentence. And he keeps on repeating that sentence every day until he sees the manifestation of those things. That is, it is not just, in fact, I like the way he explained it in that tape. He said that Paul said, I'm not just beating as one that just punching the air. I have a specific place I'm aiming for, so I know when I land. You get the point. And that is the way, let's start from our personal lives and then go on to our nation. Anything that God has said about you, you are not seeing yet. Listen, I told you, anywhere you turn, every word you hear will be wrong. That is why the words of this, the voice of doubt always appears louder than the voice of faith. Because the voice of faith is specific, pointed. God has only one reason why you should do what he's saying. And you know that reason? Because he said so. And then everybody else, your father starts with his own reason. Your auntie adds another one. Your friends add another one. Your cousin in the U.S. adds another one. Then on TV, the president adds another one. Vice president puts his own. Senate president puts his own. Ah, local government chairman has another one. NLC puts his own. By the time they finish confusing you thoroughly, you won't know where God's word is again. God's word is again. Because somebody tells them, fuel is going to go at 100 naira a liter. Say, ah, hey, God, hey, 100 naira a liter. How will we manage? Let me tell you, your children, you know we are paying bills. We are not paying bills before. They will have to work part-time to go to school. Hey. You're scratching your head. Everybody's describing the what's it, needs. You know what they call needs? There's another one, economic something, economic development strategy. They say their own. Hey! You scratch your head. God has said one thing. He's not going to qualify it. He's not going to explain it. He's not going to negotiate it. They that seek the Lord will never be in lack of anything good. He won't explain how it will come. You know, He won't describe to you that, you know what will happen is that I will do this to you in the country, so just stay there. No. One word. Because he knows, once you recognize that word and you forget everything else, you make the right decision. You understand what I'm going to say? So what is your responsibility? Every time another voice comes, hey, you are in trouble in 15 years' time, you just give that same simple pointed word. They that seek the Lord shall never lack anything good. He said, I will make rivers to flow in the wilderness so as to give my people drink. So you are telling me that everywhere shall become a wilderness. He said, God has said he will cause rivers to flow in that wilderness. Let it come. Do you understand my point? That is how to wield the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, wherewith we are quenching every voice that's trying to set our hearts on fire so that we will doubt the word of God. Because once we doubt it, we start sinking. You know, God told the children of Israel, you don't drive them out, they will teach you their ways. And exactly as I propose to do to them, I will do to you also. Are you getting my point? I just needed to say this to us so that we will understand that God's inheritance has been given to us. God's plan has been written in the heavens. And once they were written, they were stamped with the blood of Jesus, and it's final. Nothing can change it. That's what it means when it says that something's in the heavens. And our point as watchmen is every time we see things that are not in agreement with that, we constantly declare, according to what is written, thy will be done on earth as it has been recorded in the heavens. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Let us pray. I want us to just thank God at this time for what he has said.